In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, Gospel passage and sermon text might call the sequel to Lazarus through that story of the confession of Peter. And often in our day, the sequel never quite matches up with the original story. But I think this will go, but not at first glance. The purpose of the review reminds what Lazarus' story was, the famous, dramatic confession of Peter. When Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And Peter was the first with spiritual eyes to see, the first with his tongue to say, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in response, Jesus offers you the most effusive, affirming words to ever gave any disciple. The rest of it is Simon, son of Jonah. My father is not revealed to you. Oh, my Father in heaven, absolutely, you are Peter, and on you, on this rock, I will build my church. And that the first thing, not the very thing. If not before, that day, Peter was officially able to keep the Christ, and this is set our first scripture to the church. But moment that day, it's not scripture. Before Jesus said to Jesus a singing word, he ever gave to the Christ. And then Jesus has said, okay, now, and you know now, so here's what's going to happen to the Messiah, and that's the suffer. Yes, he did have the devotion of children, but he was dying on the third day of life. And Peter went and Jesus said, no, Jesus, this will not be. And then Jesus offered the 2x4 beside his head. Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block for me. You are sitting on the divine gate, not on the earth with me. Can you imagine the numbness of Peter? I had a phrase growing up, I don't know if this is only in the South or not, being fussed out. Your daddy will fuss you out. Your computer will fuss you out. That means grow up and get fussed out. I remember I was fussed out on my feet at 11 years old. And I was letting go. I took confirmation classes. And back then, they closed communion in the Episcopal Church. Now they have open communion. If you're baptized, all that much, people from all denominations, and traditions, so you keep home communion, but when I came in the last service, because you confirmed with the table, you make your first communion with the confirmation. And there's like 8th grade, 11 year old, and so there's 13 of us in the class. And the priest took it so seriously, he insisted on teaching the last 2 or 3 classes. And the day before confirmation, the priest took us into the church. He wanted us to teach physically to the attitude of home communion, to the repentance of awakening and meditation. So he gave us a way for one another to go, as he said, not consecrated, because that interest will not be surprised tomorrow. We'll be able to consecrate on the state of this today. Then he calls up a challenge, okay? You receive the challenge, and then you bring back to the next person who receives it. He's put a little wine, but 11 years old, even though we work with the table, but most of us have never tasted alcohol. And so, I'm going to start joking about it. Everybody was lost, not fit to do. And he was fearing the problem. He said, "That is nothing. I have a good night postponing the confirmation. And he'll make me show that for me with his son." He fucked us out. And though I know later that it came from his heart of love for the Holy Sacrament of Eucharist and for us, and for us. And he took us the time of knowing and seeing. And you multiply that 1,000 times 1,000, and you get Peter. You fuck out of the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. How that must have been. So, the point of the sermon is the moment of truth, and Jesus is saying that even though seeming words came from 11 times Jesus, and Peter later on would know that. But in that moment, I'm sure he did not, and he felt the shame of the review. Michael said just a couple of things, how we would have been no better than Peter in this situation. So Jesus said the Messiah would suffer, and God would have been an anathema to Peter. So we're not been in a strange place. Peter might be for 2,000 years on this side of the resurrection, the cross, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then to this day, we place the image of our day in suffering service in the image of Christ. The vicarious dying and suffering Jesus by our sins. A language. This day we still come to the meaning of the cross and suffering of Christ. But we're used to it because we're not theology in that language. of Peter. The Messiah, the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah, came water into wine, fed 5,000 people, preached this, healed and did miracles, and stood up to political authorities with might and wit. And what the Jesus is saying is higher than that failure. So Jesus, I mean, Peter loved him, may that have a being. And also, he loves him, when you love someone, you don't want to be down. You might believe, and might have the gift to be the love of God, yes, and it ends with this earthly relationship. And you love it with a pet, or a human being, listen, you don't want to be down. Or listen to the law, who have tried to put them back to God. So that often, people are dying, they're so lonely, because they don't talk about it with their friends and family, and they heard them. They just say it to the day he all up to God. He said, man, I'm here. I said, come here, look at the God. And he said, oh, my God. A girl said this. You need to keep one fall. Well, that's the doctor. And I've been around in a couple days. But he went, I don't see how to die alone like that. But it's good, right? I love him. And Jesus loves me. Where was that one? So I'm told that Jesus had to say this before. And it took to all of us. Jesus never invited people on a false pretense to follow us. The following of Jesus, the prophet, the prophet of Jesus, gives us, Jesus has an understanding, a soul, a life that is unlike any other. It gives us the meaning of life. It is a beautiful life to imagine. But Jesus made it clear to the disciples and to you and me, it always will involve a call. It involves denial. You can't follow Jesus and not practice denial. He was preparing the disciples. So basically, he was saying, as the master, must the servant be the king. And so this is a beautiful thing. He did come, Peter came to that often. To move to some training. That the two people sitting down and realized, oh, the master's now, he's okay. He's teaching me. He began to teach his disciples, they too must pick up a call and call. And that language was not as understood to the time of Jesus. I think Jesus in the news, they wouldn't understand it because it hadn't even happened yet. But Peter, after Paul, after the resurrection, after the ascension, after the gift of the Holy Spirit, he died a lot of steps upside down on the cross with courageousness and with the nerve of honor, with faith of steel, that these words came home to him eventually. And so they are to honor. Jesus says, you are all of us in the same place. I don't want to be called that you did. All of the sons of the world of the same truth. But our call is a system. And the listed in the book of the Romans I'm reading today, Paul also gives me that. That Christianity involves sacrifice and denial. What did the Romans say? To follow him. You feed the hungry. How can you feed the hungry if you don't deny yourself and live under your means financially? If you can't, you find a way to do it. You visit a prison, you visit others who are lonely. How can you do that to go live and deny yourself a little one day with your time and talent to get the time out? You put welcome to those who get people from you and persecute you. How can you do that without practice, imitation, Jesus, and self-sacrifice? It doesn't come natural. But the call of Jesus involves these crosses. And I would ask you to take the voice and hold them up. Before going again, read that Roman reading and see where your problems might be good for this week. And maybe this is the end of you for him to pick up his call and call. So let's unlock the true word today is our comfort of law. There's nothing more beautiful than following Jesus in life. But it always requires something common. And again today is the poem I've always loved, an unknown author. And it assumes the voice of Jesus teaching the disciples throughout the ages. That they're both the beauty of Christianity, but they fail to recognize the call. And again, it says the very point of our Lord's beautiful words today. How thou hast gone? No hidden sorrow hand or foot or thigh? I hear thee sound as mighty in the land, thy hidden tail, thy light of sitting star. Hast thou a soul? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was made by the ark of sin. Many can't see that God time. First, I'd rather be Jesus to comfort me. I swoon. Is that the wound? The wound? The scar? It has a master love of servant me. And here's the right of Jesus to follow me. But I am whole. And here's all God that has the wound, the scar.